Welcome to another episode of TSR Rewinds.
And hello everybody, welcome to another episode of TSR Rewind. This is for February of 2015. This is my little opportunity to take a look at what went right, what went wrong over the month of February, and talk about whatever else happens to be on my mind. And first things first, I am certainly thankful that I did not have to deal with all that snow this winter in the Northeast. I am not a snow kind of person. I live in Arizona. I love the warm weather, the sunny skies. I lived in Virginia for 10 non-consecutive years. That's a Southeast, not the Northeast. But dealing with snow in the winter was still not one of my favorite things to do. So more power to you guys for living in that environment. You're probably stronger people than I am. I certainly couldn't do it, and I am very thankful for the Arizona weather this winter. But I digress, guys. So let's get right back into it. Earlier in the month, I wrote an article about how my wife and I are traveling to Glacier National Park for $11.20 each, and we were able to do this through the magic of credit cards and credit card rewards points. We signed up for a Southwest offer, where if you accumulate 110,000 points in a calendar year, you get a companion pass. And really, the companion pass is where the real gem is here in this deal. So we accumulated the points necessary in my wife's name, and now I have the companion pass for the remainder of this year and also for the entire year of 2016. So what we'll do is next year, towards the end of 2016, we will repeat this process, but this time the cards will be in my name and she will have the companion pass. And we will book our airline tickets with points that we have accumulated, and then the companion, of course, just books for free, and the only thing you have to pay are airline fees. That's it. I also wrote this month about how taking our dogs to the dog park rather than sending them to doggy daycare is saving us $200 every single month. Up until last month, we sent our dogs once a week to doggy daycare, and we have two of them, for socialization and allow them some time to run around and get some exercise. But we really wanted that $200 back. So what we've done is we've tested out a dog park locally here to our house. It's within about a mile and a half. It's worked out really well so far. In fact, we have a desert wash in our backyard that is just perfect for these dogs that we never really took advantage of in the past. So now we're bringing them out there. We are even letting them off leash and letting them run around to their heart's content. They're completely worn out by the end of the day. So this is a great opportunity to let our dogs get some exercise, but not pay the $200 a month that we were paying to send them to a doggy daycare facility. So we are going to continue doing that and enjoy the $200 a month in additional savings. We also published the budget for February online, and I'm starting to include our net worth now in our budget articles. We're up to $548,000 now, which is pretty decent. The income for the month of February was $11,681 between my wife and I. That's pretty good. Of course, that does include my quarterly bonus. So next month, income will be slightly lower. But expenses was fairly consistent with January at $5,300, which actually brings our take-home savings rate up to 54%. Now, again, this is artificially high because of my bonus and because the last week of February we essentially didn't spend a dime of our own money. But I still like to see the 54%. Anytime you're able to save over 50% of your take-home pay is definitely a good month. Our total savings rate was at 67%, so we're still a little bit shy of that 70% mark that I really want to hit. So that will definitely be the goal for March. I also read an interesting blog post over at Work to Not Work, which is another financial independence and early retirement blog, that asked an interesting question. How do you respond to the question, what do you do? If you're like most people, and me included, you would respond with something along the lines of, you know, I'm an IT, or I'm an HR assistant, or something along the lines of what you do for a living. But then I thought about that, and it really doesn't have to be that way. More times than not, our jobs don't define us. Our jobs are simply what we do to bring home the bacon and pay for our lifestyles. But they don't really get to the heart of what makes us tick, what brings a smile to our face. And so I'm going to run a little experiment. The next time somebody asks me what I do, I'm going to combine my two main hobbies and tell them that. Photography is one of my hobbies, and blogging is the other. So the next time I'm asked that question, I'm going to say that I'm a photo blogger. And I'm going to bet that that will generate a lot more conversation and hopefully meaningful conversation than if I were to respond with something along the lines of, oh, I'm in IT or I design databases. That might elicit, oh, okay, nice to meet you. Rather than if I respond with, I'm a photo blogger, I would anticipate questions like, oh, really? Well, what kind of pictures do you take? Or, oh, I have this old camera that I would love for you to take a look at. In other words, we now have the initial elements of a conversation that it might actually be interesting to both me and the person I am talking with. So that's the experiment I'm going to run, and I will report back as soon as I have some findings. And also in February, we discovered the Target prepaid red card. Now, I'm talking about the red card that acts like a credit card and not the one that acts like a debit card. So the idea here is you fill the Target red card with some cash and you can use that card anywhere American Express is accepted. So that means Target as well as any other store that you would shop at or even online. And the real benefit here is you can fill this prepaid Target red card with a credit card. And that immediately means you can rack up that manufactured spending by using your rewards credit cards to fill the Target red card with money. But the nice thing is the Target red card acts like a bill pay system. And you can pay your credit card bills with this Target Red Card, as well as your mortgage and some other larger bills that you probably have every month. So if you get a little creative here, you can fill this Target Red Card with a rewards credit card, then essentially pay off that rewards credit card with the money you just put onto your red card, and you always remain budget neutral. Target limits you to $5,000 a month of money that you can put onto this Target red card. So if you do the math, that's $72,000 a year of manufactured spending, and you get rewards points for all that spending. The only catch is, one, this Target red card is not offered in every state yet. So go to the Target website and see if it is offered in your state. And two, you can only fill this Target red card with a credit card at the Target location at one of the registers. You cannot fill it this way online. You can fill it with a debit card or a bank transfer online, but you cannot do it with a credit card. You have to be in store in order to do that. But this is an absolutely wonderful opportunity to rack up those rewards points with a little manufactured spending. And last, but certainly not least, we spent the last week of February in Walt Disney World, Florida. This was essentially a gift from my parents, so it was an all expenses paid trip for my wife and I, as well as my brother and his family. So we made up some money over the last week. We spent virtually nothing. But what really surprised me, and what impressed me, I guess, about Walt Disney World is the attention to detail. I mean, all the parks are so well manicured. There are probably billions of flowers there without a petal out of place. There's these little details that Disney could probably survive without paying so much attention to, but they do anyway. For example, I walked into Epcot one day, and there were little bushes that were carved into the shape of Disney cartoon characters. We went into Epcot later that week, and those bushes were moved somewhere else. I mean, so they were still in the park, but they were simply moved. These little changes that Disney makes is really interesting. I never really expected that to happen. It makes every trip, even if you're well aware of the park and everything that's in it, you always see something different. And that's what makes it really unique, really, really magical, and something that my wife and I will definitely have to take advantage of again sometime in the future. What we'd like to do is we'd like to go back to Epcot, which is the most adult of all the theme parks that Disney World has to offer. It's known for your ability to eat around the world with its different sections for each country. Norway, Mexico, China, Japan, the United Kingdom, Canada. Each section of the world has little gift shops and restaurants where you can eat and take a look at some of the goodies and trinkets and souvenirs that are local to that country. Not only that, but the stores and the restaurants are staffed by people who are actually from those countries. So the accents that you hear in, for example, Morocco, where my wife and I enjoyed a tea and coffee, those aren't fake accents. Those workers are actually from Morocco. Same deal with France and Italy and any other country section that you visit. So it was really unique. It was a really fun experience. And the other park that we like to visit again is Animal Kingdom. We blew through that one pretty quick because we had a pretty tight schedule on our last day at Disney World. But that was arguably the most scenic of all the parks. To include an African safari ride, I guess, where you ride on this truck through the African safari, and you see real live animals there, like cheetahs and elephants and lions. But everything was all very lush. There was lots of bamboo forests in Animal Kingdom, and it was very well maintained and very impressive. You're not just paying for the amusement and the excitement at Disney World. It's not just about the rides, it's not just about the shows, but it's about those little details that really separate Disney World apart from some of the other theme parks like Six Flags or King's Dominion. And that is it, guys, for the February of 2015 edition of TSR Rewind. Thank you for joining me. Next up, March.
This has been a production of TSR Radio.